and welcome to the Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. This week, we are doing episode 24, where we will be talking about extraocular muscles, how to stay active in each other's lives when you're apart, and parathyroid gland.
Okay, so first today, we're going to talk about the extraocular muscles of the eye, which is totally unnecessary to say because extraocular means the eye. Actually means extra to the eye or outside the eye, extra, right? So this is why I find them really interesting, and this is going to be kind of nerdy, but essentially you have a muscle on all four sides of your eye, like top, bottom, left, right. Of course, we're in med school, so we don't say left, right. We say medial, so on the inside part, and lateral on the outside part. And what's interesting to me is they don't all have the same innervation. Like, you control them with different nerves. So when you look to the right, both of your eyes go to the right, but your lateral rectus, which is the outside muscle of your right eye, the lateral rectus of your right eye, is going to tighten so that it pulls that eye to the right, correct? That's CN6, your abducens. Your left eye, in order to go right, is actually, it's not going lateral this time, right? So it's going medial. So medial is going to be your medial rectus, and that's CN3, or your trochlear, ocular motor nerve. And so what's interesting about that is if you have nerve damage to your abducens, you would not be able to make your right eye go right, but you can make your left eye go right. Conversely, if you wanted to look to the left, your left eye could not look left, but your right eye could. Yeah, kind of crazy, right? So that's actually one of the way that we test it. Because I do this at health fairs quite a bit, is you hold a light, not in their eyes, but by their, like in front of their eyes, or a pen or your finger or whatever, and you sort of draw an H pattern. You make them follow your fingers all the way to the right so that their eyes are looking right. You have them look up, look down, and so that way you can see all of those muscles working either together or not together, and they could be looking at you and everything looks fine, and they look to the right and everything looks fine, they look to the left, only one eye moves. So it's really cool to see this, for lack of a better word, in the wild. One of the funny things about that test is, for some reason, I have a little bit of a hard time with compliance with it. So getting them to follow my finger, my pen, or whatever, with just their eyes. And so they'll hold their head, you know, I'll make sure, like, okay, so I'm going to hold your chin to make sure, to help remind you not to move your head. I just want you to follow my fingers with just your eyes. And then you start moving your fingers, and their eyes stay still. Like, nope, follow with your eyes. Yep, nope, keep following. Okay, so follow with your eyes, and so on, and so on. So let's talk about the muscles real quick. We actually kind of hit all the highlights. That's all the interesting stuff. The rest is kind of a little dry if you're not in med school, but you have the superior oblique, which is on the medial side, and that depresses, so it helps you look down, it abducts, and it immediately rotates the eye. That's trochlear nerve, so CN4. And then you have your inferior oblique, your superior rectus, inferior rectus, medial rectus. So medial rectus was on the inside, inferior is obviously below then, superior is above, and then inferior oblique is on the floor of the orbit, so like on the floor of your socket. And those are all oculomotor. And then you have the lateral rectus, which is on the outside, and that's your abducens. So I don't know why this works, but to remember all those, it's basically not a mnemonic, but we call it a mnemonic. We say SO4LR6, the rest by three. I don't like that. Like, we write it like it's a chemical equation or a chemical compound and pretend like that helps us remember. But what's weird is it actually kind of does. SO4, Superior oblique is done by cranial nerve 4, which is trochlear, LR3 or 6, lateral rectus 6, abducens, all the rest by 3, which all the rest are done by ocular motor. So that is the extraocular muscles of the eye. And I'm going to give you a little bonus one. There's another muscle that the ocular motor nerve does. That is the levator palpebrae superioris, which just sounds like a Harry Potter spell, if anything ever sounded like a Harry Potter spell. But what that does is that elevates the upper eyelid. So that's one of the muscles that it doesn't help you decide to raise your eyelid. It's a smooth muscle. So when you raise your eyelid unconsciously, that's the levator palpebrae superioris done by CN3. So let's call that good there. We'll be doing some, I think we got some more anatomy coming up next week, so make sure to stick around.
Make sure you check us out on artofmedschool.com. We have a ton of more information, blog posts, any of our past episodes that you might have missed, as well as some really fun underwater photography that Mike has been working on. There's some cute photos of fish. So check us out on artofmedschool.com. So this week, I am really sad that I can't be with Micah for recording of the podcast. I mean, I usually am, but this week it's a lot more because there's so many good puns already. For example, extraocular muscles. Why do you have so many of them? I know. And parathyroid gland. Why do you got two? You don't need a pair. I know, it's terrible. And most people are probably really happy that I'm not there. But I will be talking about how to stay active in each other's lives while you are away. And it's, you know, it's hard. It's hard. And, you know, and it's, and sometimes it's kind of like I keep myself so busy on purpose so I don't have to worry and I don't have to stress out and then I don't get sad. And because I know that it's just a short period of time, right? But I make sure that I'm really busy. I work full time. I am directing a show. I directed two shows back to back. And so I try to stay busy so I don't get sad and I don't get bored. And something that really helps is that I do live with his parents. And so it's kind of, it's a little closer to having a piece of him around. But there's a few things that we do and we have thrown a ton of stuff at the wall to try to see what sticks. Going back to it being tricky is, especially when I was in the Black Hills, I didn't have regular internet connectivity. And so that was especially hard because the internet's something that's making a lot of this very, very possible and having good internet access. And it's just not as possible right now. So list of things that we do to stay as active as possible. One of the things, this is something that we do. It's nice to have projects that you can work on together. So we make this podcast together. It was something that we did together when we were together. But now we both do our parts and we edit them together. And so it's a project that we're both working on. And I think that's important to do. That it gives us something to talk about, something that we're actively working on together. I don't want to even attempt to check how many Facebook Messenger messages go back and forth between the two of us all day long. His school likes him to only have one device. One device connected to the internet at a time, so he can be taking notes, and then I can be on Messenger in the background if he's, not studying something super hard. That it's something that can be in the background that we can always be accessing all day long, which works out great. It's just like that I can have in my pocket too, especially now that I'm, in the world of consistent internet connectivity. And we take a lot of photos and we send pictures of stuff that we're doing and looking at throughout the day. I think it's nice to have visual reminders. I'm a very visual person, hence why I do theater. And so having images of what he's up to and what he's doing is really important. We were trying to institute a thing where we were taking a photo of the best moment of our day, but sometimes the best moments are meant to be lived and not to be photographed. And so that one, I think we made it one day with that one, but it was a really good idea. other things that didn't work. We tried to listen to the same podcast so we would have something to talk about, but we couldn't really decide on one that we liked, that we both thought would be active and interesting, that then we would have something to talk about. We have a lot of similar opinions on stuff, and so it takes a lot for us to find one thing that we'd be like, yeah, oh my gosh, wasn't that crazy or whatever. So that one kind of fell through. Another thing, we did talk about doing a book club, but that kind of was like, well, he's studying and working full time on that. So that was a great idea that could probably work for somebody else, but it's something that we never really did. But something that we are wanting to be super intentional about now is weekly video dates, where we also video chat quite a bit, which works out really great because then you can just hang out. It's nice to be able to just hang out and not have any one big thing, because when you're married to somebody and you live with them, you get to just hang out a lot. And I think that's a lot of what I'm craving and what I'm missing. And so we're being very intentional about making weekly video dates and holding that time sacred. And I think that's really important. So Sunday afternoons, don't try to be calling me because I'm not answering the phone. Those are some things that we've tried and have worked or thought about and didn't think that would work for us. But I would love any sort of suggestions that anybody can throw my way of new and fun creative ideas that we can do. That's what we got. We launched our Patreon account. Please go check it out. You can find a link on our website or just look up Art of Med School on patreon.com. This is a great way to support us as we work hard to make the most and best content possible. You can find more information on our homepage at artofmedschool.com. And every little bit helps. Thanks.
So we're setting up kind of a two-parter here. By setting up, I mean we're starting a two-parter. I guess we're just going to do a two-parter. We're doing the first part of a two-parter. I wanted to talk about parathyroid disorders. But before we can really talk about parathyroid disorders, we better talk about the parathyroid gland. Because how can you understand what goes wrong with it or what's going wrong with it if you don't know what the gland is? So the parathyroid are small glands that live on the posterior surface of the thyroid gland. So posterior, again, means behind. Do you know where your thyroid gland is? It's in your neck. Basically, it's in your neck. And it looks like a butterfly. You probably hear about like hyperthyroidism disorders and stuff like that. So the parathyroid are like these little nodules that actually live right on the thyroid. And there's usually four of them. They're like two pairs. And the thyroid kind of looks like a butterfly in a way. Usually there's a pair of parathyroid glands on top and a pair on the bottom. And they actually live in the capsule that covers the thyroid. There's a capsule of like connective tissue that goes around the whole thing. Okay. So the main thing that the parathyroid does is release something called, it's a hormone, and it's called parathyroid hormone. Yeah, every once in a while they give us some really easy ones. So the parathyroid gland releases the parathyroid hormone. Its job, increase blood calcium level. So it detects, like, it's got a little sensor. It's saying, how's our calcium doing? Okay, it's getting low. We're going to release parathyroid hormone, and it goes out. Basically, it does a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to say what it does because it's in my notes for a little bit later. So we're going to talk about that in two shakes. First, let's talk about what cells it has. The main cells that we're concerned with are the chief or principal cells, and it has a lot more of those. I think that's why they call them the chief cells or the principal cells. And those cells have a calcium sensor in their plasma membrane. So that's what's keeping track of how our calcium is doing. So if you have high blood calcium, it causes them to suppress the secretion of parathyroid hormone. If it has a low blood calcium, that makes the secretion kick in. And what that hormone does is it acts on bone tissue to stimulate resorption of mineralized bone. So I don't know if you know this, but your bone isn't like just, you know, a bone. I think sometimes we tend to think of bone as just like this stagnant, kind of dead material in a way, but it's very much alive and always, always breaking down and rebuilding and breaking down and rebuilding, like not even just in growth, you know, when you're a kid and you're coming up, but all the time. And that's actually like a huge storage of calcium for us. So if we need extra calcium, like in this case where we need to raise blood calcium, that parathyroid hormone will stimulate our osteoclasts, which are the cells that actually break down the bone, stimulate our osteoclasts to work harder, and our osteoblasts, which are the cells that build bone, to work a little bit less, to kind of back off. It's also going to act on our uniferous tubules, that's in our kidney, to resorb more calcium. So if we're high on calcium, we'll excrete it through our kidneys. We should do that sometime. Just talk about how resorption works in the kidneys. Because basically everything, not everything, I shouldn't say everything, but a lot of stuff, the majority of stuff gets excreted from our blood into our urine. But before it's actually urine, while it's still just fluid, our kidneys resorbs it all. So if we need to excrete more sodium, for instance, we don't actually, nobody tells our kidney to excrete more sodium. It actually tells it to resorb more. I hope that makes sense. I think the concept that most people probably work with is that the kidneys filters everything out, and in a way it kind of filters everything back in. So in this case, it would resorb more calcium. It also activates the production of active vitamin D, which happens in the kidneys as well. What's interesting, too, about the chief cells is as we age, they end up getting replaced with adipocytes, which are just fat tissue, right? So they just kind of get old and worn out, and then adipose comes in and takes over. And actually, by the time that you get older, it can be up to 50% of the gland is adipose instead. Another interesting concept, parathyroid hormone has a half-life of 5 minutes. Half-life, just in case you don't know, a half-life is how long it takes for a substance to break down to half of its original volume. So you start out with like a liter of something, and 5 minutes later you only have 500 milliliters left. That's half a liter. That would be a half-life of 5 minutes. The other cell, and this is kind of interesting too, is that we have the oxyphil or the acetophilic cell in our parathyroid gland. So we have the chief cells and then the oxyphil, sometimes called acetophilic. And as far as what they do, we actually don't know yet. We do know they have lots of mitochondria, and that probably has something to do with, you know, their function, because things don't exist for no good reason. But as far as the actual function, I don't know. Nobody really knows. So that's the parathyroid hormone, or parathyroid gland. We'll talk again about disorders of the parathyroid. So this is just setting that up. Make sure to tune back and find out what happens when this little guy goes wrong.
All right, there you have it. That was episode number 24 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. Today, we went over extraocular muscles, how to stay active in each other's lives when you're apart, and the parathyroid gland. Our theme music, Urbana Metronica Woo Ya Mix by Spinning Mercata, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way by St. James School of Medicine. Micah just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.